The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Okay.
Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole.
Yeah.
Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Oh, once she grabs, she won't let go. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole.
None of that soft stuff.
Rock, rock.
None of that heavy metal stuff.
Rock, rock, rock,
just a little bit of jazz.
Rock, rock, rock and Nicole.
What do you think?
Just
I
like
love
that.
It. That was great. Thank you.
That was the only way to start today's show.
Big laughs out in the hall.
With Chris Isaac and Kenny Dale Johnson there, giving us a musical intro because today is Friday. And I don't know about you, but if you're like me, you're ready for a break from news and politics and ugliness and nastiness. And so we are going to veer off from that today. We'll get to it in just a moment. Our special guest today is Ben Harper, along with Sheldon Gomberg. Somebody in the chat room just asked, who's Sheldon Gomberg? He's a musician, but these days he's mostly a record producer. And he's in the studio with Ben. Sheldon's an old friend, and he put this all together. So I'll tell you about that in just a couple of minutes. We've got to start with just the latest, just the tip of the iceberg on what's going on in the world. And then we really need the music. All right. Supreme Court weighed in this morning on abortion, and it just reaffirmed my fears. No, they didn't. They didn't totally overturn Roe v. Wade yet. But what they did say is that the abortion providers in the state of Texas have a right to challenge the law. So they let those go forward, those lawsuits. But they also let this abortion, the Texas abortion law saying no abortions after 6 weeks, continue, which is insane. So that happened. And I'm not going to go into great detail. In fact, tonight, just so you know, if you want the news, if you want the, you know, heavy stuff, tune into the broadcast this evening. You can either listen at on Progressive Voices at progressivevoices.com or through the app at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific tonight, because I'm filling in for Brad and Desi tonight, or go to bradblog.com. And it'll be posted there right around the same time, around 8 o'clock. So you can listen there. So it's sort of like a twofer today. And consider this show the escape from the madness. I do want to mention one thing, though. I didn't see it last night, but Brian Williams signed off of MSNBC, where he's been hosting the 11th hour for the last 5 years or so. And he signed off of NBC News after 28 years. Now, we remember the reason why Brian Williams was you know, let go from the NBC Nightly News and relegated to, you know, late nights on MSNBC because he exaggerated. He didn't exactly lie, but, you know, tomato, tomato. We were watching the news that night when he made some statement. He like bragged about being in a war zone and being fired at, and it was all bullshit. It didn't happen. And, you know, in one sense, you can look at it as stolen valor, like stop that. So that said, I have mixed feelings about Brian Williams, though I did always enjoy his show, The 11th Hour. He had a very low-key, understated sense of humor, but he could be very, very funny. Anyway, I listened to his sign-off today because it's everywhere. And it was like a 4 or 5 minute monologue at the very end. And he said some nice things, but one line stood out to me. And this is what he said.
They've decided to burn it all down with us inside. That should scare you to no end as much as it scares an aging volunteer fireman.
Uh-oh. Yeah, they want to burn the whole thing. What did he say?
They've decided to burn it all down with us inside.
With us inside.
That should scare you to no end as much.
And it should scare you. But we talk about that all the time. We're not going to do it today. So I need to say one more thing regarding yesterday's show, or maybe it was the day before, where I read a comment on YouTube on one of our programs from a listener named Tina Lulu. And Tina Lulu is a woman. Thank you very much, Tina, for pointing out the obvious to me. And I read her comment because she made a lot of sense. She talked about how Joe Biden has let down the black community. And it's not only, look, I'm not a black woman, I'm a white woman, but he let me down too for the same reasons that you're talking about. And the things that she pointed out were no $15 minimum wage, no public option for healthcare. Where's the criminal justice reform? There's no student debt forgiveness. There's no voting reform. And they haven't decriminalized marijuana yet. So those are just a handful of the promises that she said will make her never vote for Joe Biden again. But let me play devil's advocate for a second, because I don't want you to perceive this as the bashing Joe Biden hour. He is still night and day, no comparison to what we would have had if Joe Biden didn't win. Now, forget the primary, forget anything else. At the end, when it came to November 3rd, was it November 3rd? We had two choices. We had two candidates. It was Joe Biden or Donald Trump. No contest. And here's the other thing to keep in mind. The reason none of these passed is not because Joe Biden opposed them, but because he couldn't get them done. And most of the holdups were due to two, count them, two senators with D's next to their names, but are anything but Democrats. That would be Joe Manchin of West Virginia and Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona. So you know what to do. We have an election in 11 months. Neither of those two are up for election this year. Go figure. But we need to elect progressives to the Senate so that Manchin and Sinema don't matter, so that we can throw them off the cliff and not worry about it. So you and me, we have a big job to do. So don't take your eye off the prize. But as I tell you all the time, make room for other things. Make room for what gives you joy. Make room to turn off the news and participate in life. And I told you there are certain things I do. I'm painting. I took up painting during the pandemic. And in fact, if you're in South Florida tomorrow, from 10 to 4, I am going to be at an event in Sunrise at the Sunrise Sportsplex. It's just west of Pine Island Road, south of Commercial Boulevard. It's a big arts and crafts fair and a winter wonderland for kids. There are going to be a bunch of vendors. I'll be out there with my paintings. Come say hi. See, it's something different to do. And then for the rest of this hour, we're not going to talk about news or politics. You know that the thing that keeps me sane is music. So I've been telling you about it all week that we were going to speak today with Ben Harper, and we will. We taped this actually Tuesday afternoon. It's Ben Harper and the producer, Sheldon Gomberg. And I've known Sheldon for years. In fact, we talk about how we met in this interview. We taped it Tuesday night when they were both in Sheldon's studio because they're working on a new Ben Harper record. And I got to tell you, you know, despite the fact that I've done this for years, that I've interviewed Ben Harper before, I still get a little nervous. And when I get most nervous on something like this is right at the beginning. And I got to tell you, I screwed up royally at the top of this interview, because as I'm introducing them, I'm thinking, you know, I didn't even write out an intro because I'm thinking Ben Harper needs no introduction. But to some people, he does. And I'm guessing to some people listening here, because you guys are not my regular music audience. You're a news, talk, politics audience. So Ben Harper is a multi-instrumentalist. He plays rock and roll. He plays blues. He crosses genres. He's so brilliant. But you'll hear when I first introduce him, I sort of do it in an offhanded way, and I say he's an amazing rock star. And I could just see on his face, it's like, oy, because he's not a rock. I mean, he is a rock star, but that's not Ben Harper. He's the anti-rock star. That's not his persona. So right off the bat, I'm thinking, oh God, I'm getting off to a bad start. But it got better from there. So let's just do it. With no further ado, my conversation with Ben Harper and Sheldon Gomberg. All right. Take it away, Nicole and Ben and Sheldon. Here we go. I am so excited. I've been looking forward to this for a long time. Joining us today are Ben Harper, amazing rock star, and Sheldon Gomberg, an amazing producer. And that I've known you guys separately, and then I learned that you were working together last year. In fact, Ben, when you released an album called Winter is for Lovers, which is just wonderful. This is your first instrumental album?
It is.
And how did you and Sheldon start working together?
You want this?
No, you, please. I'll chime in.
So I was working on a Ricky Lee Jones record, and one of Ricky's managers also managed an artist named Joseph Arthur. And Joseph was coming in. Actually, Peter was bringing him by here to show him the studio. And they had a secret project with Ben. And
Fistful of Mercy.
Well, it wasn't Fistful of Mercy at the time. It was just going to be you and Joseph.
That's right.
And so they brought him by here, and Joseph and I got along, and he liked the studio. And so then they called and said, okay, it's going to be with Ben Harper, and it's going to be on X amount, X day. And then Joseph texted Ben and said, do you know Danny Harrison? And Ben texted back, is he in our band? And then we made the Fistful of Mercy record here, and we got along great and been working together ever since.
And that was, what, 10?
About 2010, wasn't it, 11?
Yeah, at least 10 years ago.
Wow. when you find some people that you're comfortable working with and it works, you keep going. And so I love that you guys are working together. Now, Sheldon, I don't remember when we first met.
It was with the Wild Colonials, I think, wasn't it?
Wild Colonials. That's what I thought, but I wasn't positive. You know, I was working at a station in L.A. that was on the air from 94 to 97. It seems like it was much longer because it made a big impact. But we played great music. So Wild Colonials were a band that came into being around that time. And in fact, Ben Harper, your first album was released, I think, the same year that KSCA went on the air, Welcome to the Cruel World. It came out 94, right?
And I opened up for the Wild Colonials numerous times at the original Largo.
Wow.
And friends and a huge fan of Angela to this day.
She's great.
Angela's great. Not only is she she's a great person, she's an amazing singer. Her husband, Paul Cantillon, is an incredible pianist as well.
And violinist.
But Angela, when I lived in L.A., she was my social director. She would bring people to my house and have parties. She organized everything. She introduced so many people that I know to each other. And when I can't figure out how I know someone, it's usually a good bet to say Angela McCluskey from Wild Colonials.
She's the hostess of Hollywood.
Yeah, Hollywood.
She's great. She could control an audience so great, too. She's
the best.
She was fun to play with.
And I guess they're in New York now, still making music. But yeah, Wild Colonials has been a while.
They moved back.
They're back here, yeah.
Right. So now, Ben Harper. I'm such a fan of yours, and I got to say, it's been a long time since we've seen each other. In fact, the last time we saw each other was probably in 1997. I'm going to show you a picture. After KSCA went off the air, I worked at a trade magazine called the Album Network, and you came up there one day, and you played for us in the little atrium area we had. We were so young.
Look at us.
I don't know if you can see that or not. But yeah. Again, you came up to the radio station and performed live for us. I'm guessing you do remember this. I remember
that gig. Yes.
You know where I'm going, right?
What? No.
No, you don't. Okay, so it was the first time we had met. And I was doing, you know, the professional DJ thing, and I read your bio, and I asked you questions, and I learned that you were into skateboarding. And so here, I'm going to play a snippet of our first interview, just showing that I have no embarrassment quotient, because I'm a nerd.
I'm sure.
So here's a little bit of our interview.
But okay, so when you jump on a skateboard, how does it stay up and not fall out from under your feet?
Magic. Right?
That's what I'm doing. All right, you know, on your bio, at the end of the bio, you ask for any old school skateboard gear to be sent to you.
Yeah,
why?
Check it, because I collect it.
Oh, it's
you know, yeah. Because I ride old school. Although I love new school, I got some new school gear, too.
Okay, wait a minute. I was thinking like old school, like schools who have old skateboard gear. That's not what you're talking about. did he just give me a dirty look? All right, so what's the difference between old school?
I don't know anything, and that's
okay.
The lamest thing.
So showing that I'm a nerd, and I didn't in 1995 understand what you meant by old school skateboard equipment. But do you still collect it?
I do. And matter of fact, from that interview, I got a couple of boards sent to me from people who were listening.
Did you? Because I didn't let it play. But but in there, you ask if anybody hasn't sent it to me. You gave the, I think it was Virgin Records. You gave the address. Yeah. And cool. So you made up.
I need to thank you.
And I had a moment of deep embarrassment that's followed me around for the last 26, 27 years.
And when I would see you, you'd mention that would come up between us, I think, in the times that we met after that interview.
Yes, because again, this was the first time we had met, and I was mortified. I was so embarrassed, and I thought the only way to get past this is to have fun with it. So I wear it like a badge of honor. My silliness. I learned from you. But you're still skateboarding now, all these years later?
I went from that interview talking about old school to now being old.
Aren't we all? Oh my God. So yes, when we met, it was, again, your first album had come out in 94, and then 95 was Fight for Your Mind. And I think that's when you came into the station. And one thing I always remember, Ben, is, you know, you called one day on the request line. You weren't looking to come on the air or anything. You just called to say, I'm listening. Thank you for playing my music. And I hung up and I'm thinking, how cool is that? I mean, I had the best job ever.
And thank you for, you actually gave LA the reputation, musical reputation that has carried it to this day from that time. And from, like you said, from 94 to 98 or 97, though it was a few years, your impact on music radio credibility in Los Angeles was significant. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you. I mean, that was a time of really good music. I mean, I look back on it and I think that, you know, it was just that little slice of life. But those few years from KSCA was 94 to 97. And then we put on Channel 103.1 a few years later. It was, I think, 98 to 2001. And then we were sold and, you know, consolidation took over. But I moved back to Florida. I'm in South Florida now. And you don't know this, but I saw you in 2013 at the Tortuga Festival. It was the first time they did this big festival on the beach in Fort Lauderdale Beach. And you were playing with Charlie Musselwhite. Now, you had been working with him before, but there's a picture of you guys on stage. What an amazing show that was. And so I have to ask you about Charlie Musselwhite. How did that partnership come about?
Charlie and I met at the Byron Bay Blues Festival in around 2000 in Australia. In Eastern Australia, legendary festival in Australia called Byron Bay Blues Festival. And we met there around 2005, 2006, and just hit it off instantly and had a lot of, you know, musical reference points in common that would just set the conversation off for hours at a time. And that grew and evolved into actually recording a record called Get Back. Get Up.
Right.
Excuse me, because his record is Get. He had a record called Get Back. That was his first record, I
believe. Which we did here.
No, well, Get Back is Charlie's first record.
Get Up.
But Get Up, we recorded here with Sheldon producing.
Wow.
One of the producers. Wow.
It's such a small world, isn't it?
Yeah.
We were working on some of Ben's stuff, solo stuff, just recording some stuff together. And he goes, okay, next week I got some guys coming in. You know, and I was like, okay, great. And then you showed up and that's what we did.
So fun.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that concert, that festival is produced by a guy named Chris Stacey, somebody that I knew from the business from way back. He used to be a AAA guy, this kind of format. But then he moved into the country world, and that's a big country festival now. It's going on since 2013. But on that bill, it was you and Charlie Musselwhite, Michael Fronte, and Grace Potter. And so it was and a lot of country acts, but I was in heaven. Oh, and the Avett brothers as well. So, but in the years since, it's been much more country, a little less rock. But, you know, down here in South Florida, South Florida is not a good rock town because the demographic makeup, I guess. But I see, Ben, you're doing, you know, I looked at your touring. And it looks like the next show that you're playing is in April, and it's actually a thing here in Florida, though it's on the other side of the state. It's like a weekend thing. What is this about?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I saw the opportunity to share the stage with Brandi Carlile and jumped at it. It'll be a solo show, me and a bunch of guitars and piano and that kind of thing. So somewhat different than I usually play with the band, but I love solo shows, and it looks like a fun bill and a fun night. So I'm looking forward to that. Are you going to make it across the state, or that's a bit much?
Well, she was going to ask you if you could actually get everybody to go over there to Fort Worth.
Well, you know, if you wanted to do like a media thing, and I could do live broadcasts from there, that's in like Pensacola. So that's the northwest corner of the state. I'm the southeast corner of the state. So it's Florida's a big state. I don't know. April's a long way off. If I can make it there, I certainly will. The lineup is phenomenal. You mentioned Brandi Carlile, but there's other people there too. Hold on, I'm pulling it up again to see who's there, because is this not your thing? It's just something the Moon Crush Pink Moon thing is something you're participating in? I thought it was your event.
No, I'm just a part of it.
Gotcha. Wow, a connected music vacation, Moon Crush Pink Noon, Miramar Beach, Florida, which honestly I'd never heard of before, so I had to look up and see where it was. But oh, it's you, Susan Tedeschi, and Derek Trox. How great is that? My Morning Jacket, JJ Gray and Mofro, Brett Denon. So it's a nice lineup. It looks like a great weekend.
Nicole, I just hope it happens.
It's been postponed a couple of times now due to the pandemic. So I'm just knocking on wood that it comes through this year.
Oh, safe to do anyway.
You know, a lot of these things, I've known there have been a lot of cruises, and a lot of cruises leave from down here. But with the pandemic, I think people don't want to be on a cruise. I like this idea where you're at a hotel area or a community. It just sounds very cool. The other thing that I noticed, Ben, that maybe my favorite part of your website at benharper.com is the activism page. When I left L.A., took a brief detour to Taos, New Mexico, which was a mistake. In the meantime, I adopted a little girl. I don't know if you remember. I adopted my daughter, Allison, from Kazakhstan. So I moved back here where I have family. But I've been in talk radio now for like 15 years. I've been doing mostly political talk. And although it's important to say the things I say and to cover what I do, the media is so dominated by right-wing crazy people that I think we need to push back. But it made me crazy for a while. And the thing that pulled me back, well, after Trump got elected, was the music. So I think I straddle two worlds. I straddle the music world with the political world and news and trying to do good for the world. So I look on your website and I see a page that's activism. And the organizations that you have featured here are just one after another really great. Can you tell us a little bit about the activism that you do and the organizations that you're showcasing on your website?
Yeah, to name a couple, maybe. There's LIFT, the LIFT organization that does incredible work, social work, in pulling people in from the edge of what may be a challenging situation on the borderline of of poverty. You know, when you're right at the when someone's right at the edge of losing a grip on certain things, LIFT can be there to bring you in from shore and actually stabilize sort of different areas of outreach. And that can range from Social Security, driver's license, job placement, all the way to taking full advantage of any and all government services that someone might not be aware of when it comes to aid. And they just do incredible work, and I've been associated with them since they were an idea in a college dorm with Kristen, who started it, up until now. And Michelle Collins, who runs it now, is just one of the smartest, most incredible organizers I know. And so there's LIFT.
Their website, by the way, is liftcommunities.org. And it says it's a growing movement to combat poverty and expand opportunity for all people in the U.S. That's great because, you know, we have, this is the wealthiest nation in the history of the world. And yet we have more than one in four children goes to sleep hungry at night. It shouldn't be that way. So that they're obviously doing good work. What else are you doing?
And that transcends politics, which is the good news as far as that work that needs to be done. Anyone who can contribute from any directions, imperative, as you made clear. And Chad Pagracki, I smile when I think of Chad. Chad started on, maybe a 12x12 barge he built himself to what is now an ocean liner of a machine, and he goes up and down America's rivers, picking up where Pete Seeger left off, and he keeps America's rivers and what in effect is our drinking water, he keeps it single-handedly, but built this organization single-handedly to a massive group and a massive movement. Living Lands and Waters, run by Chad Pagracki, and he cleans up America's rivers. He's just a one-man army. He's incredible.
Wow, this looks incredible. Livinglandsandwaters.org is their website. And again, you've got a lot of information at benharper.com on all these organizations. These are just two of them. This looks great. Are these?
And it's still never enough. I mean, we could spend the whole time just on that. And it's one of the, there'll come a time where I probably age out of the music hustle, and that's probably what I'll do with my life, is just work in that direction. I think I could see myself doing that at some point, or maybe focus a couple of years to that, a couple of years to music, but put my life in a stronger balance with social activism, both cultural and environmental.
That's important. I keep telling my listeners, you need to find something that takes you out of the realm of the news and politics, because you can get so mired down in it, and there's a whole world out there. I love that you have the Pat Tillman Foundation listed on here. You have Surfrider Foundation. They've been around for a long time. Pick Up America, reducing plastic waste in our community and waterways. I'm in Florida. You're in Southern California. One thing we have in common are the beaches. And, I look at the coral reefs are being destroyed, and it's so sad what's happening to the planet. So it's good to be able to give back. And I love that you devote a big part of your website to these causes that are so important.
Yeah. And I have to do more.
You have to do more.
Yeah.
Well, that's life. You mentioned a minute ago, you're going to age out of the music thing. I don't know that we do. You look at the Rolling Stones.
We don't vote for that. We're not voting for him.
They're still, touring. And for the last week, I've been somewhat obsessed watching the Beatles Get Back. Have you guys watched that at all?
Okay, good. Because I wanted to make sure that we had a spoiler alert. Safety switch in case you didn't finish it.
I did binge watching.
So. You did it. Okay. All right.
You did. We finished watching it last night. I mean, I didn't want it to end.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, from my perspective, I'm curious what other people that are not musicians or into the music business think of it. But for us to get the behind the scenes peek at that interaction. And see, I loved it. I mean, there's so the stories about that, all their fighting going on in that period, is what you think of, and they, you could tell they loved each other.
Yes.
It was cool to see the way they interacted.
I'm with you. That was the most special part of it for me as well.
Absolutely, and then to see their writing process, and in this case, I mean, it's really Paul McCartney is a machine. Just seeing him sit down and noodling around with the guitar, and all of a sudden, the germ of a song begins, and you hear it grow. And it wasn't only with Get Back; it happened over and over again. And I'm wondering, like Ben, what is your songwriting process? Is it anything like that?
That was the most shocking part of it all. How interconnected that process is to, I think, anyone who really sits and wants to write a song that there's a chance the world might hear. It's similar in ways of process and completely dissimilar because they're the Beatles.
Right. Right.
But imagine if we could get to watch Picasso paint the guitar or Van Gogh paint Starry Night. I mean, it was, what a that we got to be.
But you're a songwriting machine too. He writes so many songs, it's crazy. People you're producing, people you're, for your own things, yeah, different projects.
Yeah, but yeah, but to get to see those guys at that level,
that's about the highest level there is.
And that we could get into that. That they let us into something so special. And like you said, Nicole, to actually, because there are some things that we shouldn't see, you know, and there's certain things, but like Sheldon said, the love that was there, you do hear so much about the discord of that era and the Beatles at that time, but they were real. I mean, they had, I believe, in a 3-year period, they put out Abbey Road, Let It Be, and the White Album in 3 years, and Yellow Submarine, like 4 albums, 3 years. They struck me as 4 guys who loved each other, like you pointed out. They just needed a break.
Yeah,
but they were the first. They were the first band. So you didn't know you were allowed to go off and make solo because band had ever gone. They were the first band. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait a minute. We can go off. And I think that benefited Mick and Keith because they were able to go see what happened there, and then we'll go off and do our solo things, and then come back to the Stones. They just didn't really. It didn't occur that that was even an option. It seems like to them, but but the love that Sheldon pointed out, that was that. That was really special.
Right, and it sort of blew out of the water the narrative that we had heard all these years, that Let It Be, that was their breakup album, and they were fighting the whole time, and Yoko was this horrible energy in the studio, and none of that seemed to be real. So it was a nice treat 50 years later to go, wow, look at the love that was there, and we got to live it again. Music does that to us. You know, I can listen to Burn One Down, Ben, and it will take me back to 1995. I love that. In fact, when I told my husband that we were going to be talking, he's like, will he play Burn One Down?
I feel bad for any other band that I've ever played with. In any other, I could be sitting in with Warren Haynes and Government Mule, and someone in the crowd is going to yell, "Burn One Down." Like, oh, I'm so Warren, I'm sorry.
Freebird.
It's my own personal Freebird.
Well, it's held up. I mean, that's what, from 94. And it's still great.
I just want someone to yell "Burn One Down" at a Skinner concert. That would be my ultimate contribution.
But there are many songs. I mean, and I was fortunate enough to get to play your music on the radio. And it was just, you know, that was a great part of my life. And I have such wonderful memories from it. But Sheldon, you said something. Ben writes a lot of music. You also produce a lot of records. Now, you're in Sheldon's studio and Sheldon is producing, I'm guessing. What are you working on now? What are you in there doing today?
That's what we're trying to figure out.
I'm working on a record, and Sheldon's producing. Sheldon produced Winners for Lovers. He produced Get Up. He produced No Mercy in This Land for us. And I'm working on a new record that he's currently producing and doing a fine job. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Will this be a Ben Harper record or a Ben Harper and the Innocent Criminals record or some other configuration?
It's a Ben Harper record.
Ben Harper. Cool. Well, the last one I mentioned, Winters for Lovers, and I remember Sheldon. You put out an announcement like on Facebook when it was coming out. It's great. And then Ben, you did a recording of it. It's you on the a lap guitar? What kind of guitar
it's
is that?
A lap steel guitar made by John Monteleone in Islip, New York.
Wow. And it's just you on the guitar. It's an instrumental, so there are not even lyrics. And it's magnificent. And you recorded the whole thing. Is this your family's music store?
My family's music shop in Claremont, California. It's been open 64 years.
Wow.
My son is the fifth generation to help run it. Exactly. Speaking of.
Here, I'm gonna.
But that video though wasn't the recording on the album.
I did the record, and then we went into absolute lockdown, so I had nowhere to play it, nowhere to showcase it or explore it, expose it. So I just went in and played it live at my family's music shop and bounced it off out on YouTube.
On the video.
On the video.
Yeah,
that is.
Yeah. The album was here.
The album was all done here at the Carriage House and is also on YouTube, but it seemed like the record needed. Like, I'd have friends who are guitar players that say, are you overdubbing on that record? Are you playing the bass separate from the melody? So I wanted to show, I wanted to show people how it was made, that it was just me playing all at once.
It's just amazing. And is it okay if I play just a couple of minutes of it? People can see. Here we go. All right. So this is
one of three radio stations.
Yeah, I didn't know you played Montelion.
It's Ben Harper. Here we go. That's Ben Harper from the album Winter is for Lovers, the one-off he did in his parents' store, playing the album start to finish. It's just gorgeous.
Thanks, Nicole. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you, Sheldon, for bringing out the best in it. Hmm. You know, I didn't have... You would think with a solo piece like that, it would... I mean, I was able to build on the album at my family's music shop, but... Had I not made the record, I wouldn't have had the foundation to go in and play it all the way down, because I was in here working with Sheldon, fishing that album up out of the deep. Those were some deep waters. You would think me and a guitar would be the easiest record I could make, but it wasn't. It was so naked and raw.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's got to be scary, because that is naked. You got to cover everything with everything. To me, I always think of it as... And I always describe it as, I could be completely off track, but it reminds me of like two classical pieces. Like, you know, side A and side B are like a classical record where they've got the movements going all the way through.
Sheldon, you started out as a bass player, a guitar player and a bass player, and then you became more, now you produce and you engineer and produce records. Do you have a preference for one over the other? Do you bring something different to each one? Or is it a different part of you that goes in the studio?
You mean producing or engineering? Or what you mean between what?
Between being a performer playing, you know, bass on a record or producing the record, does it come from a different side of the brain?
I don't know about different sides of the brain. I still just tap into what I know from music, I guess. But there's nothing like playing an instrument. It wasn't by choice that I stopped playing. So, but this is a very, very close second. So, and I love it. So I get to still, you know, help people out with their music, or the way I describe it is I ruin people's careers.
I wouldn't say that. Ben doesn't agree.
You won me a Grammy.
So then Ben.
You didn't really.
I think you won me the Grammy.
You know, you won me the Grammy. You're throwing Grammys at me.
Those are Graham crackers.
Oh, Graham crackers. Hey, but I do love some of the, would you mind naming a few of the people you played bass with? Because that's always wildly cool.
I always hate doing that. Do you mind?
Okay, Warren Zevon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kenny Wayne Shepherd.
Yeah.
Ricky Lee Jones.
Yeah.
I mean, we could even, that's just a holy trinity right there.
Angela McCleskey. Angela McCleskey.
Yeah.
All right. I'm looking on your website. Ryan Adams, Beck, Katie Lang, Five for Fighting, Sly Stone, really?
I got to do a session recording with him, not for his record. It was for another artist. And it was fantastic. The first part of it was fantastic, and he was sitting there on the grand piano going, let me play you my new songs, and he was like this far away from me playing and singing with that voice, and I was just like,
wow.
Oh, that was amazing. And we were talking about Woodstock and Hendrix and all kinds of stuff. It was pretty cool. And Cynthia was there, you know, Cynthia Blow Your Horn.
Okay.
That was cool.
Amazing.
I don't know.
Amazing.
Tell us more about amazing. Cynthia.
From Sly and the Family Stone.
Oh, okay.
The trumpet player.
Sure. All right.
Okay. So talking about the Beatles, the Get Back thing. So, Ben, you're coming in the studio, work with Sheldon, and make a new record. Do you have the songs written, or are you writing them in the studio?
I'm in true Beatles fashion, I'm writing them as we go in the studio.
Wow. I love that. I mean, the fact that they went in and said in 14, in two weeks or whatever it is, we're going to have 14 new songs. To me, that's pressure, but I guess to them, it seemed effortless.
There's an effortlessness to it, and it's coupled with sort of the potential of impending doom, creative doom, and I think they play off one another, as you could even see in that documentary. Not to compare my process at all, but I can relate to that. And I think if we each name our most shocking takeaway from that doc.
Ooh.
Mine would be
that
the Beatles, being the Beatles, basically loaded into two sonic environments, an airplane hangar and a bright white square room. Neither had acoustic treatment whatsoever, baffling at all. I mean, they were playing with a PA, no headphones. They had some kind of PA and like every instrument that Fender had sent them, you know, right, that month. Yet it's still the greatest possible sounding music, which goes to show it almost, the songs transcend all, darn near all else. So that was my takeaway. Hugo.
Don't call me Hugo.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I just thought it was cool. I mean, everything about it was cool. But there they were with just, you know, a couple of basses. He had his Rickenbacker and the Beatle bass, and you know, the guys each had a couple of guitars, and it was just like a local band recording and rehearsing.
Yes.
One of the greatest bands ever.
With no guitar stands.
Yeah,
not a guitar stand.
Yeah, you saw the Les Paul fall over.
They fall over. They land on the ground. It's like, it's the Beatles.
It wasn't too precious. It was just.
Hold on. I've got something for you guys. Hold on. Okay. My sister, I don't mean this to be a commercial, but I will send these to you if you want them. My sister's boyfriend has a product called the Guitar Pillow. And it's a thing. You put it around like the neck of the guitar, and it rests. I should send these to you because I don't have a guitar.
I'd love one. Yeah. I'd love a guitar pillow. And if you've got any Puman pillows as well, the ones at my house are worn out.
It takes forever to find a good pillow.
Doesn't it?
I've gone through like a dozen trying to find one.
Don't even get me started.
It's crazy. They let you send them back if you don't like them, but I can't do that because then they're just going to throw them out, and I feel like they've wasted something,
and
so I'll give them to people.
You're going to sell them with a used pillow.
I know. They can sell it.
Secondhand
give
pillows.
Give it to homeless things or whatever.
I don't know.
that, which kind of helps. But I just feel weird, so I just keep them and buy new ones.
I got you. All right. Well, I'll send you these, and you'll have some extras.
Please. I'd love to try one out. Because I'm always looking for some way to protect my instrument in the wild.
Yeah. No, this is, it's a great idea. I'm trying to think if I have a little thing here that explains how it works. But basically, it goes under, I don't know the terminology. On the top where the keys, the tuning keys are, it goes in there, and it's like a just a pillow that you rest it against the wall. It's a handy little thing, but it's very cool.
Does it go over the headstock, or it just goes around the neck?
It goes around the neck, but it goes under the... Damn it.
I think I got it. I think I get it. Yeah? It's basically a safe lean.
Yes.
So how many guitars do you have?
Here's a picture of it. Can you see that? How it leans?
250 of them.
I think, probably 250 of them would be good to start with. You can just send them.
Well, I'll send you these, and then I'll put you in touch with them. So he won some kind of award at NAMM. So there's that.
All right. Well,
anyway, I've got all kinds of stuff here. So you're in the studio, Ben.
You got away without saying what your takeaway from the Get Back was.
Yeah, what would you? That's right. What's your main?
You don't get to skip out of this.
What's your takeaway, Nicole?
My takeaway on the Beatles thing. Honestly, I was so surprised. I mean, I knew Paul McCartney was an amazing songwriter, but to see those songs just come out of him like that, he's superhuman. I said he was a machine. It just blew my mind that he would start, even with A Long and Winding Road, it starts with this little a riff on the piano, and then he starts singing these words, and they come. Hearing Get Back be birthed like that, just the songwriting process blew my mind, maybe because I don't have that talent, and seeing it just come out like that, it makes you think that there is something supernatural happening there. Right? I mean, Ben, when you write a great song, does it ever feel like it's just channeling through you, that you didn't necessarily do this?
Yeah, I used to feel that way when I was young, but I look back on that time and flinch just a bit, because I mean, you hope that's the case, but even to say it, even in any sort of existential terms, verbally, you run the risk of getting run out of the room. But you hope a song in its truest, purest form is something that you've pulled from beyond yourself.
Well, you've written some amazing songs. I mean, I mentioned Burn One Down, but Diamonds on the Inside and Burn Thank to you. Shine and... of course, now I'm trying to think of them and I'm not thinking, but no, so many of them
funny.
That, you know, I guess it's been a long time. We've gotten to this age where you look back and you're looking back on a 30 year career now.
Yeah. And I just can't help but have this overwhelming sense of just beginning.
Good. Yeah, good. Because, yeah, there's a lot more music in you. So this album you're working on now, how are you just starting on it, or do you have some down, or where are you in the process?
We have now, I think, 5 songs.
Well,
from the previous session and this one.
We're working on 6 now.
We're on song 6 at the moment.
So this, may I, Andrew?
Please, no.
So this... this record, after when I was telling you that we did the Get Up record, the Ben and Charlie record, he and I had recorded 3 songs, and I've been bugging him for 10 years now to finish them because they're so great. And here we are.
There you are. Do you have a band with you, or are you doing it solo?
These are songs I'm working on solo.
He's playing drums.
Playing.
Upright bass.
Wow.
Upright bass, mind you. My fingers are... I mean, I don't know. It probably won't show, but they're just... Well, this callus really should show.
Oh, yeah.
Ouch.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I mean, it's... But it's better me playing it and searching and pulling it out from the depths than me barking at a bass player to play what's at the back of my... in the trenches of my mind.
Plus, it's fun. And
it's fun.
And this is what we did 3 years ago, where he played pretty much everything. He had... I think Jason came in on a couple songs to play keyboards.
Yeah.
But and it's just, you know, like the old Stevie Wonder record where he would play the drums, or Prince, when they, there's something to it that he's pulling out that's really cool.
Cool. I can't wait to hear it.
And it's taking shape. I'm in its best incarnation. It will be something related to what I've done, but still a whole new direction. That's what I'm trying to kind of curse what I know and go beyond that.
Well, that's always the challenge, isn't it? To keep moving forward, you know, challenge yourself and be creative and do something a little different, but not too different, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Tastefully
different.
Is there any chance we could get you to do a song for us? I can understand if you don't want to, but I would love it.
What do you think?
You mean one of the new ones or a song of anything?
Anything you want to do.
I mean, I'm not going to play, so I'm not going to make the decision.
I don't know what it'll sound like. We just have one mic here, and I could just pull a guitar off the wall.
You can if you want to.
That'd be awesome.
I'm sucking a lot of oxygen out of this interview. I hope that's all right.
It's all about you, anyway.
Oh, no, I didn't think that was in the fine print, even.
No, I just said I'd let you do it if I could be in there. So I'm just trying to get my interview time in.
This guy, shut up already. Now he's going to play a song? Yeah, sure. Will that close the interview? Just because after that, I'll
sure.
Be,
absolutely.
I mean, so
and I've kept you for so long. I'm just having a great time talking to you guys. This is
all right,
I'll
grab a guitar and we'll do a song and
call it a day. All right, I'll cover for you.
Okay.
Joe,
what do you want me to do,
keep,
Joe?
Keep the energy. Yeah, you gotta keep it rolling.
Hey, didn't you bring Allison by here one time when you first adopted her?
I did. I think I brought her to a barbecue at your house.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't a barbecue. We had that music party out in the backyard, remember?
And I think I had Allison with me and Sandy. You have to remember my dog, Sandy.
Yeah. I hear a guitar.
All right.
Which one did you grab?
You got so many guitars.
Did you get the Martin?
Grab
or the
Martin.
Takamine?
The Martin. Or is that a Takamine?
If it's on the wall, Takamine. It's the top. The Martin's in the case because you told me to keep it in the case.
Yeah, it was a good
I'm getting out of the picture here. Whee, bye.
So what are you going to do?
The song's called Another Lonely Day.
All right, Ben Harper.
Yes, indeed, I'm alone again. And here comes emptiness crashing in. It's either love or hate I can't find in between. 'Cause I've been with witches and I have been with the queen. It wouldn't have worked out anyway. So for now it's just another lonely day. Hey. Further along we just may. So for now, it's just another lonely day. Wish there was something I could say or do. I can resist anything but the temptation from you. I'd rather walk alone than chase you around. I would rather fall myself than let you drag me on down. Wouldn't have worked out anyway. So for now, it's just another
must make. But for now, it's just another lonely day. Yesterday seems like a life ago. Cause the one I love today, I hardly know. You I held so close in my heart, oh dear. Grow further from me with every falling tear. Wouldn't have worked out anyway. So for now, it's just another lonely day. Hey, hey. Further along we just made. But for now, it's just another lonely day. Hey. For now, it's just another lonely day. Just another lonely day.
Wow. Thank you so much, Ben Harper. Another Lonely Day, a song from the album Fight for Your Mind, going way back, almost to the beginning for that one. That was awesome. Thank you so much. Sheldon Gomberg, so good to see you. It would be nice if we could, you know, do this in person one of these days. And hopefully we can again someday soon. But thank you both for hanging with me today and doing this. What a treat this has been. This is just wonderful.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's my pleasure. Thank you. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Right? Perfect for a Friday. We're going into the weekend. Ben Harper. If you're not familiar with his music already, hopefully that will entice you. And while he's got probably a dozen albums out that you can find, just go. You're on YouTube. If you're watching on YouTube, you're on YouTube already. Ben Harper has a ton of music on YouTube. In fact, the clip that I played from the album Winter is for Lovers, where he's playing in his family's music shop in Claremont, California, he did the entire album. It's one about a 30-minute video. I just pulled that out of the middle of the thing. It's just Ben on the stage with that gorgeous lap steel guitar, playing music like what we heard. And there's tons of stuff there. Maybe one of these days, maybe over the holidays when I take a few days off, maybe I'll play the entirety of that first time I interviewed him when I didn't know what old school meant. So, yeah. See the smile on my face. It's so much better than talking politics, especially on a day like this, right? So, with that, we are done for the week. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for hanging with us today. I know this isn't everyone's cup of tea. I know some people were probably, you know, not happy that we weren't talking news and politics today. That's all we usually do. So this is, for me, a treat. And I know at least some of you are loving it as much as I am. So thank you. Again, check out Ben Harper. And Sheldon Gomberg, just so you know, check out his website, Sheldon Gomberg, GOMBERG.com, and look at the work he's done. He's going to come on with me separately at another time, to talk about his career. I just couldn't, you know, when Ben Harper is sitting there, I had to talk to Ben. So I already spoke to Sheldon. He's going to come back on soon. All right. With that, we're done. Have a great weekend, everyone. Thank you for listening. And I will see you Monday. Bye. Okay. Now that that's over, I'm going to leave you with the news. But again, thank you for hanging. And I hope you enjoyed that a fraction of as much as I did. Have a wonderful weekend. Again, if you're in South Florida, come out to the Sunrise Sportsplex tomorrow, 10 to 4. There's a big holiday thing and an arts fair, and I'll be out there with my paintings.
Okay? All right. Thanks, everybody. Mwah. Have a wonderful weekend. And do something nice for not only yourself, but for others. Okay? All right. I'll leave you with the news. Bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
President Biden on Thursday called on fellow world leaders participating in the first White House Summit for Democracy to lock arms to show that democracies can deliver progress better than autocracies. Biden said global democratic institutions are under assault, and he called for leaders everywhere to step up efforts to strengthen them.
Democracy doesn't happen by accident. We have to renew it with each generation. And this is an urgent matter on all our parts, in my view. Because the data we're seeing is largely pointing in the wrong direction.
The video gathering came as the U.S. and key allies are warning Russia that it'll face strong sanctions if it invades Ukraine. Russia and China, who were not invited to participate, accused the Biden administration of trying to, quote, stoke up ideological confrontation and a rift in the world with a Cold War mentality. The COVID roller coaster is on its way up, and it's like deja vu all over again. Nationally, COVID-19 hospitalizations have increased 40% from a month ago, and in some places it's even worse, like Michigan, where hospitalizations jumped 88% in the past month, with a disturbing new trend, younger and younger people are dying. This is the first winter in the U.S. with the Delta variant, so experts are concerned about what's to come. Meanwhile, the FDA has authorized the Pfizer vaccine for use as a booster in people ages 16 and 17, and the CDC has also given its recommendation. So far, about 50 million people, that's 26.9% of fully vaccinated adults, have also received the booster dose. Another loss for the former guy. Aw. A federal appeals court denied Trump's effort to block his White House records from being released to the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th insurrection. That decision sets up an emergency Supreme Court review. The judges saying that Trump had given them no reason to override President Biden's decision not to invoke executive privilege to keep the documents secret. They said the White House and Congress agreed there was a legitimate need for the documents because the rioters who sought to prevent lawmakers from certifying Trump's loss to Biden threatened the peaceful transfer of power and said, quote, there's a direct linkage between the former president and the events of the day. So there's a two-week stay on the decision, allowing the former guy's attorneys a chance to appeal to the Supreme Court. Stay tuned. Another crisis averted. The Senate on Thursday passed a bill temporarily changing the chamber's rules to prevent a filibuster so that Democrats could raise the debt ceiling with a simple majority vote, preventing a potentially catastrophic default. 14 Republicans joined all the Democrats in voting to pass the bill without the filibuster, and then 10 Republicans joined Democrats in the final 59-35 vote to raise the debt ceiling. The House had already approved the measure on Tuesday, so it now goes straight to President Biden for his signature. Remember, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen had warned Congress earlier this month that the federal government could run out of money to pay its bills by December 15th. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said passing the one-time rule change was crucial to help avoid the prospect of a catastrophic, calamitous default on our sovereign debt. Although Nancy Pelosi has not taken any action against Lauren Boebert for her horrific comments regarding her colleague, Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, the House will vote next week on a bill introduced by Omar, which would create a new office within the State Department tasked with combating Islamophobia. They'll also vote on a measure to hold former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows in contempt of Congress for refusing to comply with a congressional subpoena. New York State Attorney General Letitia James wants to get the former guy under oath for a deposition as part of an investigation into possible civil fraud at the Trump Organization. James' office is looking into whether Trump's company fraudulently reported property valuations, inflating them to get better loans, and underreporting them to pay lower taxes. James could file a lawsuit against Trump if she finds evidence of fraud, but couldn't bring criminal charges. James' office is also collaborating in a criminal investigation being led by Manhattan District Attorney Cy Vance Jr. that's seeking to determine whether Trump was involved in a pattern of criminal fraud by giving lenders false property values. Letitia James on Thursday ended her campaign for governor, said she'll run for re-election as attorney general to continue the Trump investigations. Actor Jussie Smollett has been found guilty on 5 counts of felony disorderly conduct for making false reports to police that he was the victim of a hate crime in January 2019. Smollett denied the attack was a hoax, but the two brothers, who knew Smollett personally through the TV show Empire, testified that the actor, who is black and gay, directed and paid them to carry out a sham anti-gay and racist attack in order to garner sympathetic media coverage. Chicago police initially investigated the incident as a hate crime, but as the story fell apart, they soon said the actor orchestrated it himself. Smollett's convictions carry the possibility of jail time, but wait, there's more. The Chicago Police Department has already filed a lawsuit attempting to recoup the over $100,000 it spent investigating the false report. Well, a London High Court has ruled that Julian Assange should be extradited to the U.S. to face espionage charges and a potentially lengthy prison sentence. The ruling was based on an appeal by the U.S. government against a British court's previous refusal to extradite Assange. After assurances from Washington that the WikiLeaks founder would be treated fairly before and after trial, the court ruled that he should be flown to the U.S. The UK Home Secretary will have the final say on whether or not to extradite him. Washington lawyers have floated the suggestion that he could return to Australia to serve any sentence, though in reality, that would all be up to the judge overseeing the case. Starbucks workers in upstate New York voted to form the first union inside the coffee chain's U.S. corporate-owned stores. The victory suggests that Starbucks will be expected to sit down and bargain with at least a couple of dozen of its more than 200,000 U.S. employees. That's the way to do it, unlike what Kellogg's is doing. And after a majority of U.S. employees of the Kellogg company voted against a proposed 5-year contract, the company announced it would fire and replace the 1,400 employees who went on strike more than 2 months ago. Kellogg workers walked off the job on October 5th at 4 plants in Battle Creek, Michigan, Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Memphis, Tennessee, and Omaha, Nebraska, after the company and the union were unable to reach an agreement on the terms of a new contract. According to the union, Kellogg's threatened to send jobs to Mexico, though company officials deny that claim. But now, members of Reddit have coordinated to flood Kellogg's application system and thwart their attempt to hire scabs to take those jobs. The Redditors are flooding the system with realistic fake job applications. One of them wrote a program which uses random data to submit bogus applications 24 hours a day. And yes, they crashed the whole thing. And finally, from the "it took you 3 years to figure that out" files, an investigation by the House Oversight Committee shows that pharmaceutical companies raised prices of common brand drugs during the past 5 years by nearly 4 times the rate of inflation, using drug pricing practices that are, quote, unsustainable, unjustified, and unfair. Yeah, as if we didn't already know that. Okay, so what do you do with that information? Just asking. I got the news. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.